When you hear the word conspiracy, what comes right behind that word? Theory. And when you hear that word theory falling in behind the word conspiracy, one has to ask themselves, where did that word come from? It comes from the CIA-controlled media who have done their best to dummy you down into believing that all conspiracies are theories, when in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Furthermore, you will find, as I'm about to show you, history will show that the corrupt media have in fact attempted to cover for them that are committing the crimes of conspiracy by attempting to discredit them that are exposing the conspirators. Conspiracy theory is a term that originally was a neutral descriptor for any claim of civil, criminal, or political conspiracy. However, it has come almost exclusively to refer to any fringe theory which explains a historical or a current event as the result of a secret plot by conspirators of almost power and cunning. According to Webster's 1828, the definition of the word conspiracy, a combination of men for an evil purpose, an agreement between two or more persons to commit some crime in concert, particularly a combination to commit treason or to excite sedition or insurrection. Furthermore, I want to show you that conspiracies are very scriptural. When you go to Jeremiah 11, verse 9, it says, "And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem." As a matter of fact, well-respected Bible commentator Matthew Henry said of conspiracies, in Jeremiah 11, 9 in particular, "A conspiracy is found among them by him whose eyes is upon the hidden works of darkness." There's a combination against God and religion, a dangerous design formed to overthrow God's government and bring in the pretenders, the counterfeit deities. This intimates that they were willful and deliberate in wickedness. They rebelled against God, and not through incogitancy, but presumptuously and with a high hand. That they were subtle and ingenious in wickedness, and carried on their plot against religion with a great deal of art and contrivance. That they were linked together in the design, and as is usual among conspirators, engaged to stand by one another in it and to live and die together. They were resolved to go through with it. A cursed conspiracy. Oh, that there were not like that in our day. What the conspiracy was, they designed to overthrow divine revelation and set that aside, to persuade people not to hear, not to heed the words of God. They did all that they could do to derogate from the authority of the scriptures and to lessen the value of them. They designed to draw people after other gods to serve them, to consult them as their oracles, and make court to them as their benefactors. What follows are some of these most shocking modern conspiracy theories that turned out true after thorough investigation by our society, some through congressional hearings and others through investigative journalism. Many of these, however, were just admitted to by those that were involved in the conspiracy itself. The Dreyfus Affair. In the late 1800s in France, Jewish artillery officer Alfred Dreyfus was wrongfully convicted of treason based on false government documents and sentenced to life in prison. The French government did attempt to cover this up, but Dreyfus was eventually pardoned after the affair was made public, an act that is credited to writer Emile Zola. Friends, remember, this was all sold to you as a theory. The Mafia. This secret crime society was virtually unknown until the 1960s, when member Joe Valachi first revealed the society's secrets to law enforcement officials.
What does that mean in your terms? Does that mean that you were agreeing yourself to kill him?
Oh, yes, Senator.
What was known was that organized crime existed, but not that the extent of their control included working with the CIA, politicians, and the biggest businesses in the world. Friends, remember, this was all sold to you as a theory. MK Ultra. In the 1950s to the 1970s, the CIA ran a mind control project aimed at finding a truth serum to use on communist spies. Test subjects were given LSD and other drugs, often without their consent.
Revolutionary soldier,
at least
judge,
one man, civilian,
legislator, educator, schoolmaster to America, none other than Noah Webster, said, "The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. The moral principles and precepts found in the scripture ought to form the basis of all of our civil constitutions and laws." He goes on, "All the evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Our citizens should early understand that the genuine source of correct Republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently,
"Recently,
we shouldn't rock the boat." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Just want to give you a quick heads up, folks. We're going to be talking with a Columbine survivor who's going to tell us all concerning what the media meant us not to know. She's going to go ahead and disclose that information so we can get it from an insider. And we'll be talking to her in just about 13 minutes here. But before we get to that, I do want to let you know, you can check us out on social media platforms. That's sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. If you want to call in at any time, please do. That number is 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. And if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, I just want to remind you and let you know that this is the radio station and show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that we follow the Christ here, John 14:6, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Acts 4:12, 1 Timothy 2:5. The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests, period. Okay. With that, folks, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of tee this up for our guest who's going to be with us in about 13 minutes. And I want you to check this out because what I noticed today is before I was doing some of my homework and teeing this show up for you, my audience, it's interesting how many of the videos have been expunged. How many have been completely removed from these platforms, these big tech platforms, the same big tech platforms, friends, that have been censoring the voice of the American people illegally, but only giving us the voice that they want to hear. I mean, it goes back to, if we want to learn from the past, that's all we have to do is consider what Stalin said when he said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. I don't understand what it is that the people don't understand. So let me go ahead and just kind of lighten, or should I say, bring some light to the point that I'm trying to make here. I want to ask you a question. Why do the people suffer the abuses and crimes of a lying mainstream media that works hand in gloves with the corrupt politicians within the halls of government. Only you can answer that. I can't answer it for you. I can tell you what I'm not putting up with because I'm exhibiting that even now. Why is it that the people give them, the mainstream media and corrupt politicians, why is it that you allow them the benefit of the doubt when you know that they're lying to you? Again, you all the well know, friends, 81% of the American people do not believe the mainstream media, and yet, sad to say, much of what today's conservatives are parroting comes from the mainstream media. And we understand why they're yesterday's liberals, and I'm talking about today's conservatives, because there is no difference between them and what they call the left. Remember, there is no left. We're a constitutional republic. There is no two-party system. We are a constitutional republic, Article 4, Section 4. And I always like to bring closure to this point that if the right, as you've been taught, was doing the right thing, there wouldn't be a left. So why is it that the people give the lying mainstream media and the lying politicians the benefit of the doubt? We all know that truth is the first casualty concerning every war. That's a fact. And it's also interesting to note that when we're looking at conspiracy theories, it's interesting that came about, the word theory added on to conspiracy, because conspiracy is very biblical, Jeremiah 11:9, but theory was added after the JFK assassination. Now, I got to say this for the record before we get going on the show. What we need to take note of, friends, is all these conspiracy theories that people have been highlighting over the last 50 years, they've all now come to pass, and I'm saying that for the purpose that we need more conspiracy theories because, again, ours all came to pass. And I don't think anybody's going down that road anymore, at least for the most part. Is that safe to say? Conspiracy theories, again, came in at the time of the JFK assassination. Did you know that after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, 81% of the people didn't believe that John F. Kennedy was assassinated by the person they told you was responsible? They said the shot came from the front, not the back. But again, why do you give them the benefit of the doubt? Why is it that the people in this country allow them to set the narrative in face of the eyewitnesses? The eyewitnesses are omitted. The useful idiots drive the narrative. No wonder why people are confused in this country. Let's go back and look at none other than World War I. Look at all the lies that have been disseminated since that period of time. We all know World War I was a creation of what? Those that were trying to create something called the League of Nations. When we look at World War II, I think of this. After December 7th, 1941, I remember, and I can still hear him saying this even now, where Roosevelt said that our boys will never put foot on foreign soil. But over 405,399 of them died in the process. What was the outcome of World War II? The United Nations, which failed after the First World War, which was called the League of Nations, right? And then we just can go on just concerning all the conspiracies that have been thrown on the American people. I mean, we're all familiar with the pandemic, you know, and 6 years later, and how many people that have been ousted from the experimental jabs that are no longer here to talk about it because they didn't want to listen to guys like me because they said it was a theory. I bet they wish they would have listened now. But again, look at the outcome has been since the beginning of this last crisis that's been created. How many doctors and hospitals and agencies have come out now and saying who the responsible party was concerning what was inside of those vaccines, as they call them? I just seen a post, as a matter of fact, the other day, and it was a picture of the said elites. They love to be called the elites. And on this little post, what it said was, it was fantastic. This individual that created this post said, if vaccines worked, then only the elite would have been vaccinated. Exactly. But that's somebody that's actually thinking, and that's someone that's learning from history, because we see, again, the people allowing the corrupt to drive the narrative and giving them the benefit of the doubt. What about Vietnam? We all know that Vietnam wasn't started by the Vietnamese. I mean, you know the Tonkin Bay incident. We actually spurred that war on We shot first, and then after 58,151 of our boys were murdered in the use of fighting for those in politics. Remember, Kissinger's the one that said that our boys are only ignorant and dumb fools to be used for what? Foreign policy, right? Did we figure out who started that war? And then it goes on, and then it goes on, and then it goes on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Again, we'll be right back.
Francis Turretin said, "Effectual calling is an act of the grace of God in Christ by which he calls men dead in sin and lost in Adam through the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to union with Christ and to salvation obtained in him."
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. bbsradio.com.
A signer of the Declaration of Independence, a diplomat, governor of Virginia, secretary of state, and the third president of the United States of America. The doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of man, the practice of morality being necessary for the well-being of society. He, God, has taken care to impress its precepts so indelibly on our hearts that they shall not be effaced by the subtleties of our brain. We all agree in the obligation of the moral principles of Jesus, and nowhere will they be found delivered in greater purity than in his discourses. I am a Christian in the only sense in which he wished anyone to be, sincerely attached to his doctrines in preferences to all others. Thomas Jefferson stated, "I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ."
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
I want to thank Bradley and the Sons of Liberty for all they're doing to wake people up and to get our nation back to the constitutional republic that it was set up to be. Thanks, Bradley.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704. We're going to have our friend Jen Thompson up in just a moment. She was an actual survivor from the Columbine shooting back on April 20th, 1999. For the record, after we seen what happened in Columbine during that particular mass shooting, that's actually what started my ministry to go to high schools. Most people ran. We ran too. We didn't run from them. We ran to them. We've done it 366 times now. But let me finish my point here. I was just talking about how the American people give the media, the mainstream media, and their useful idiots the benefit of the doubt. And yet I'm just highlighting how many lies have been told to the American people over the last 100 years. And who is responsible for it? I brought up World War One. I brought up World War Two, and then I highlighted the fact that the first casualty in every war is what? The truth. They have to remove the truth so they can create the war. And then I was thinking about this too. I just seen another guy post, you know, how they talk of, you know, prevention is better than cure. We better make weapons to defend ourselves from other countries, right? And then once those weapons are created, then what they do is start to drive a narrative to use those weapons in the war that they create. Americans, come on. We don't want to sit here and play the fool for anybody, right? Okay, so what we need to do is wise up. Well, let me go fast forward, because I also highlighted the assassination of John F. Kennedy. 81% of the people didn't buy it. But we got 20 different versions of what took place. And it's interesting how many years later, when the files were released in part, they were almost totally redacted. I mean, outside of the fact that the Warren Commission, who was appointed there, they were the fox in the chicken coop. And then think about his brother, RFK Jr. Ask RFK, not senior, but RFK Jr., who shot his dad. And he will tell you it was not Sirhan Sirhan, but that's the narrative they have been setting for how many years since that assassination? Same thing with Martin Luther King Jr. It's amazing. Folks, I sat with Andrew Young for over 3 hours. He was his right-hand man. He's the former mayor of Atlanta. He told me exactly who was responsible for that whole assassination. And he told us that J. Edgar Hoover from the FBI had a diabolical hatred for him. Well, let me keep going on here just for a moment before we pull up our guest friends. What about September 11th? I have a video pulled up right now. And by the way, the big tech companies are expunging these videos. They do not want you to see the truth of the matter. And what I have in front of me is Stop the Press on sonsoflibertymedia.com. 156 eyewitness accounts were omitted from the mainstream media's narrative concerning September 11th. And the firefighters will sit there and tell you the buildings were detonated. But you never heard that from the mainstream media. And if it was leaked right after it happened, it was sure enough concealed immediately after. So you never heard another word about it. I mean, I can go on and I can go on. I can go to Ruby Ridge. Look at the lies that you were told about Ruby Ridge. Look who the guilty party was. The government was sued for millions of dollars for what it did to that innocent family. What about Oklahoma City bombing? Look at all the lies that were completely promulgated by the mainstream media and the useful idiots concerning what took place there. Look what took place after Waco, Texas. If you have in your mind that you are being told the truth by the mainstream media, I want you to consider the fact that 81% of you say you don't believe the media. So how is it that they told you the truth that time? I'm here to tell you, they didn't tell you the truth. Friends, truth is treason in the empire of lies. And it's about time that we stand up and tell people the truth. Now, getting to my guest, I want to bring up the fact that we had a shooting in Florida. You guys all remember the shooting in Florida. And what's interesting is we noticed that Nicholas Cruz was accounted for that shooting. He was the one that was charged for that shooting. And yet I have videos, hopefully I'm going to play before the end of the show here, from eyewitnesses that were actually standing right there with Nicholas Cruz while they were hearing shootings coming from other buildings, as do I also have a video here. And by the way, again, much of this has been expunged, completely taken down because they don't want you to put this together. I also have a video of a Parkland teacher here who said that when she saw the shooter, she thought it was the police. And yet there was 70 cameras there, and yet only two of the cameras in the footage was released. I mean, if they're concealing the video, don't you think we should pay attention to what's going on here, friends? I do too. It's the same thing concerning the allegations of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And why am I saying that? Because, folks, there was over 1,400 videos on that campus. How many have been released? Zero. Zero. Okay? We need to pay attention as to what's going on here. Now, when talking about that Florida school shooting, I also want to bring us over to Columbine because this is the one that hits the most, because I know that this was probably the most popular school shooting massacre that we all know of. So if I was to say to you, tell me of a school shooting, you would probably say Columbine High School. Well, friends, you all the well know that I had Scott Craig on the program some time ago, and I'd asked him about the 101 eyewitness accounts of the shooters that said there was more than two shooters inside of that building. I have the videos in front of me, but I have something better, friends. I have somebody that was actually in the school during that particular time, and her name is Jen Thompson. And the way I caught Jen Thompson was I just noticed her online, and she said a lot more happened in Columbine than what we were told. So what I did is I reached out to Jen, and I'm going to pull her up in just a second here, and I told her that I had Scott Craig on the show. He was the one that was inside of the library when Dylan and Eric were actually shooting up those kids. And I said I had asked Scott to Jen, why is it that he didn't know about these other eyewitnesses? She said that he was actually in the library playing dead as Eric and Dylan were walking around shooting up the students that were pleading for their lives. So, folks, it gets better than that. And I'm talking about more information, and I believe it's pertinent information that the American people need to begin to pull the curtain back when they're told something and not jump the gun when they're told something by the media that they say they don't believe. They have to ask questions. And this is what I'm going to say to all this. It's amazing to me that it is always the eyewitness accounts that are completely suppressed, censored, or omitted, or they're silenced. But yet the useful idiots in the mainstream media, without fail, they get to set the record. Now, folks, I'm going to bring our friend up, Jen Thompson. Jen, I want to tell you first and foremost, thank you for jumping on with us. We do have you for two segments, so we'll just take this in stride. But again, I just want to tell you thank you very much for having the courage to jump on with us and to tell us what it is that the mainstream media omitted from the American people concerning what took place in Columbine High School on April 20th, 1999.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be able to
absolutely. Well,
tell the truth.
Amen. Amen. And that is that, by the way, that is the very reason we're pulling you up right now, Jen. So I got about 2 minutes for this first segment, and then I'll have you for two more segments. So you were actually born and raised in Littleton, Colorado. You had just shared with me a couple minutes ago, actually before the show, that you were raised up in a home right across the street from the school. And then you also told me that on April 20th, 1999, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you are actually a sophomore when that school shooting took place. Is that all correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct. I was born and raised in Littleton, and I was a sophomore in a science classroom that day.
Okay. So, Jen, we got about, like I said, about a minute and a half left for this first segment, and I just want you to go ahead and lay it out as to how that morning started and what it is that you observed, and go ahead and take your time because, as I said, we have two more segments, but it's all yours.
Okay. So my story starts out at the smoker's pit. I was out there complaining that I couldn't ditch that day. That was the one day a year my mom would let me ditch, but she wouldn't let me ditch that year because I had a test in my fifth hour class. As I was standing outside complaining about that, Eric overheard me complaining, and he told me, "Why don't you just ditch anyway? It's Hitler's birthday."
Eric Harris.
As if that was supposed to influence me to ditch.
Right. And you're talking about Eric Harris, one of the shooters.
Yes.
Okay.
And this was about 10 minutes before he started his rampage on my school.
Okay.
And then I walk away from him to go inside to talk to my boyfriend, who gets out of his fourth hour class and goes home afterward. And as I'm waiting for him, I see a boy from the trench coat club carrying in a heavy duffel bag, and I thought it was strange because I was in weights class. I knew all the wrestlers and football guys, and I had never seen him come into the gym or the weights room, and to be carrying a heavy duffel bag seemed really out of character for him.
Right.
Robert Perry.
So I have a hard break coming up on me, Jen. Sorry about that. We'll pick it up right on the other side. Folks, again, a hard break. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Again, we'll be right back on the other side.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think. and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
John Dickinson stated, "All artful rulers who strive to extend their power beyond its just limits endeavor to give their attempts as much resemblance or semblance of legality as possible." And when we look to Ephesians 4:14, we can see exactly where John Dickinson extracted the light from that exposes the darkness when making his point. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive."
Hi, this is Dan Pillow of TaxHelpOnline.com. You know, our Christian heritage is under attack from every direction, so it's never been more important for Christians to understand our heritage and the truth about American history. I can't think of a better place to get this important knowledge than from Bradley Dean. The Sons of Liberty radio show and sonsofliberty.com bring you the important lessons of history that the left is working to scrub out of existence. Bradley knows American history and he knows the Bible. Tune into Bradley's powerful and informative radio show and you too will understand the importance of America's true Christian heritage.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
We should be inexcusable to God, to our posterity, to the whole world, if we hesitated a single moment in asserting our right and repelling the attacks of lawless power. Reverend Peter Thacker. President Theodore Roosevelt said, "To announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but it is morally treasonable to the American public. Nothing but the truth should be spoken about him or anyone else. But it is even more important to tell the truth, pleasant or unpleasant, about him than about anyone else."
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. I just want to give a quick shout-out to our day. It gets a little loud there, folks. Just wanted to give a quick shout-out to our friend Dave over at WEAG 106.3 FM out of Florida there. Just welcome. We appreciate your trust, Dave. Again, WEAG 106.3 FM just joined us. We are live today with those as well. If you'd like to call in, please wait until we're done with our time with our eyewitness from the school shooting in Columbine, Jen Thompson. But I will give you that number. That number is 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Okay, Jen, so you've seen some guys bringing bags into, did you say, the gym area? And we can go ahead and pick it up from there. It's all yours.
So I was standing out in the hallway waiting for my boyfriend to get out of class so I could beg him to let me ditch. As I was waiting for him to come in, I saw Robert Perry carrying a heavy duffel bag and headed toward the gym.
Okay.
He some of my friends say that he shot them.
Yep. Now, Robert Perry is the one that you had told me that was expelled the fall before this new school year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. And I have 101 eyewitnesses that went unheard concerning that school shooting, and they are all tagged, every single one of them, from reporters during that particular time right after the shooting. And his name came up several times, and yet we never heard a word about him through the mainstream media. So go ahead and continue on.
So I took note of him, but I didn't really think much of it because I hadn't seen him pull out any guns. I just knew that that duffel bag was extremely heavy. My boyfriend came out of class and told me he would not let me ditch until after I took a test in my next hour science class. So I headed over to my science class and began my test. About 10 minutes into it, we started hearing pops like a paintball gun, rapid fire, and a bunch of people started coming up the stairs at the end of the hallway, which was really close to my classroom, and it was like a stampede of people shaking the floors and rumbling, and just after that stampede of people went by, the fire alarm went off. So I went out in the hallway to see if we should run out too or what we should do. And a teacher at the end of the hallway, Mrs. Miller, said, "There's boys with guns. Get back in the classroom. I'll lock the doors. You need to hide." Hmm. When we got into the classroom, everybody was going to a back conjoined door connecting our classroom to another classroom. They weren't really hiding, so I started flipping tables and making a barricade with those tables. Shortly after that, I was looking in between the tables to look at through the window of the door to the hallway, and I saw Dylan. He had his back to the door, and shortly after I saw him, a man came up to him, and this is somebody I thought was a police officer. He was in his late 20s, early 30s, looked like military, thick, muscular neck. And he looked like he was trying to calm Dylan down. So I told my group, "I think we're being saved. I think this is going to be over soon," and continued to watch what was going on with the two outside of my door. That man ended up holding up his hands to say, "I don't know," to Dylan. And as he did that, I saw the sawed-off shotgun in his left hand and realized that we weren't being saved, that he was in on it.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, can I also insert into this conversation that David Sanders, that teacher that took a couple shots for the students that ended up dying, bleeding out, was in the classroom right next to you? Can you give us a little detail as to what transpired there?
So that's why Dylan and the other gunmen were outside of my classroom, because they had seen the trail of blood going into the classroom right next to mine. In that conjoined doorway, just on the other side of the conjoined doorway from where I was sitting, about 20 feet away from me is where Mr. Sanders was laying down, bleeding out. There was a couple teachers that were on his side in that classroom that were trying to help him. A couple Eagle Scouts, and they asked boys to take off their shirts to put on his wounds. Somebody had said fire blanket, and everybody looked at each other like, "I'm not going to go get it," because it was right by the door to the hallway where the gunman had gone by. So I zipped off my knee-high leather boots, and I went and got it. I was mad at everybody because I thought, "What's wrong with you? There's a man dying over there, and you're not going to do anything to try and help save him?"
Right, right. The
gunman tried to put bombs outside of our door, trying to get into us, because shooting the door handle would shoot shrapnel at them.
Okay, so did you actually eyewitness that, or was it just something that you heard them doing? Was that Dylan doing that? Was that Eric doing that? Was that other unidentified individual that you said looked military? Was he the one responsible, or was it all three of them?
I think it was just the two, Dylan and that third guy, and they had been talking. You know, Dylan seemed like he was really hyped up and really upset.
Yep.
So they put the bomb outside. It was a pipe bomb right outside the door that Mr. Sanders' trail of blood led to.
Interesting.
And because I had kept watching, you know, out that window, I saw the hallway filled with black smoke and fire. So I told Mrs. Miller, who locked the doors for us, about the fire and smoke, and she took a huge fire extinguisher and went out there and put it out so that we wouldn't get cornered even more by the fire.
Okay, so I don't want to throw this off concerning your talking points, but I do want to go back to Dave Sanders. Wasn't there several phone calls and interactions between David Sanders and teachers talking to the outside asking for help, only to find out that there's over 300 SWAT members that failed to go in within 3 hours because they said they didn't know what they were up against? Isn't that where he expired in between those phone calls because nobody actually took the time to get in there and save him? Is that true or not?
To some extent. So what had happened is we avoided using the landlines because that could be intercepted by the gunman at any other place in the school that had a phone line. So someone I was with that day, she was a good student, so her parents gave her a cell phone. And those teachers used that cell phone to call 911 and let them know that Mr. Sanders had been shot twice, in either shoulder and was bleeding out. We needed help. We also put a sign in the window that said one bleeding to death so that SWAT would see it and try and come and get us. They said that there was multiple gunmen and they weren't sure about coming to get us because they didn't want to be ambushed.
Okay, so you just
they got us at...
No, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. I do want to add to something that you just said, though. But go ahead, Jen.
So SWAT came and got us at 2:57, came into our classroom and told us to get in single file line, put our hands on our head, no talking, and follow the SWAT guys along our safe path, which ended up not being a really safe path. But they pulled Mr. Sanders out of that classroom and into the greenhouse room, not far from that classroom. And at about 3:15 that afternoon is when I was told Mr. Sanders died. He did not leave the school.
Okay. And maybe this explains why so much of that film was redacted when it goes back to what I'm going to share with you right now. I'm going to insert this into our conversation because, as I said, I have 101 eyewitnesses. They're all coded. And I'm going to give you the names. Do you know Daphne Baca?
No.
Okay, she had listed four names of possible suspects. She had said those names included Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, Chris Morris, and Robert Perry, as you already said. Trista Fogarty, do you know who she is?
No.
Okay, Trista said she believes, as most do other students, that there were more than four people involved in the shooting. It goes on. I have Jay Adams here, construction worker near the high school. He refers to a black BMW and a small tan car that drove down his cul-de-sac, followed 5 minutes later by sound of bombs. Co-workers say the BMW was filled with four individuals, and the tan car, which followed, had two people involved with it as well. Let me keep going because I think people need to hear this. Dick Strange, he said it was approximately 11:45, and he said that Strange first observed four to five individuals all dressed in black, and he said standing alongside Columbine High School in the vicinity of the gymnasium. Then we have Patrick Visser. He was a freshman. He sees four to five individuals. And so this just goes back, and I can go on. Seth Biggie said they saw four to five trench coat mafia members. These are all tagged by reporters from eyewitnesses. Even going back to, as you said earlier, Jen, some of the students that were shot that made the claim that neither Eric or Dylan shot them. And so I think this is the information that the American people need to ask. Why is it that the government and the media did not divulge this information? Here, I'll give you one more, and I'm going to give it back to you, Dan, Jen. Tim Castle said he was a senior during that particular time. He said that there was five suspects. Pam Wood said there were six trench coat suspects holding shotguns and handguns.
And the list goes on and on and on and on. But again, like when the media means to close a case, they get their lone wolves, and in this case, two of them. And then what they do is they sell it to the people and they close the case. But yet anybody that was paying attention to what took place there on that day, they're asking serious questions because everybody knows a lot more happened inside that school than what we were told.
Yeah, and a lot of people were watching it live that day, and the reports were that there were at least half a dozen gunmen, and that's why police were refraining from going into the building.
Exactly. Now, do you suspect, and I'm just going to say this because if you were to ask me what that was about, it's amazing to me that going back to what I do know about the case, how 300 SWAT team members wouldn't enter into that school. I can tell you right now, if that was my kid, Jen, daddy's going in. Daddy's going in, and he's going to get resolved, and he's going to get his kid back one way or another. We're going to come right back, friends. We're talking to our friend Jen Thompson, a Columbine survivor, giving you answers that the mainstream media did not want to give you.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hello, folks. This is Judah, son of Bradley Dean. I'm sure you've heard of people talking about making a difference, or maybe even thought the same thing yourself. Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, traveling the nation and growing up with my dad and family, doing high school assemblies, churches, colleges, and universities, that the Sons of Liberty does just that, make a difference. Traveling across the nation and doing events, I can't tell you how many people's eyes have been opened to the truth of America's founding and Christian values, to see the youth of America's hope for the nation restored and know that they have a future. Or even just having that person come up and tell you what a difference the Sons of Liberty has made in their lives and how they drew courage from our example to now take a stand themselves. We bring you hard rock hitting truth of the daily issues of America with a biblical and constitutional resolve, along with weighing out every issue on those two pillars. If you're tired of hearing people's lip service or playing the paper tiger but tuck tail and run when it's time to act, then come join us at the Sons of Liberty, where we preach the truth, make a difference, and put actions to our words. Consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty to help support us and join our mission to restore America back to where she was founded.
BBSRadio.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio. Oh my goodness, folks, I get worked up on this kind of stuff, and I hope you're getting worked up, because what I'm doing, folks, in contrast, is giving you an eyewitness from inside of the school during the Columbine shooting compared to the narrative that the lying mainstream media and the government sold you. This is why you have to ask questions. And what do we have here? I'm high-fiving the women. Here we have Jen again standing up and being a faithful witness and telling the people what it is that they need to hear. Folks, this isn't an isolated incident. This is, like I said, from World War One to the present. This is the assassinations of JFK, RFK. This is MLK. Everything in between. This is Ruby Ridge. This is Waco. This is Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, and then going to the school shootings, as I just said. This is a reoccurring theme. The eyewitnesses that were actually in the schools in this particular case, and not just in Columbine, they counter the mainstream media. And what do they always go for? Gun control. Gun control. Gun control. Now, I'm going to pull Jen up again. Jen is a Columbine survivor. She was actually in the classroom. She's seen what transpired. She's seen and she's confirming what it is these other eyewitnesses seen in part. And for those that are online right now, I want you to go ahead and look at this, sonsoflibertymedia.com. And if you're over on Rumble, that's great. Facebook, whatever outlet we may be on. I got video after video of kids confirming exactly what Jen's talking about. And it's true, too, is it not, Jen, that you were considered the most credible eyewitness to what took place in that school shooting that day? Is that true?
That's what the police had told me. I tried to be the best witness I could in the time that I was there and took account of every time that something happened. I looked at the clock, and the police told me that they had evidence to back up everything I said happened within 2 minutes of when I say it happened. However, they said that they wanted me to change my statement about who I saw talking to Dylan outside my classroom.
Yep, yep.
They had interviewed me several times at my house, and the only time they asked me to come down to the station was when they were trying to coerce me into yep. changing my statement and say that it was Eric talking to Dylan.
Yep, yep.
I refuse.
Yeah, amen. And I'm glad you did. I mean, you go, girl, and I say that with a big high five because I praise God for people like you that are willing to tell the people what it is that they need to hear. Let me go over to this because I'm on screen right now on social media platforms, Jen, highlighting literally eyewitness after eyewitnesses. One eyewitness said there was up to 10 shooters. Now, it's amazing because some people will say, you know, the professionals will tell us that, well, you know, there was a lot of trauma going on, a lot of unexpected things happening. You know, they just think they seen it, but they really didn't. You know, and the Bible says, in contrast to that, out of the mouth of two or three, let it be an established word. It's amazing. I have 101 people saying the same thing. And the only difference that there is in these conversations is the exact numbers that they have made, that they may have seen as eyewitnesses to these shooters concerning the number. And that's really the only distinction that I can see. I don't see them counter. I don't see any of these eyewitnesses counter each other. This is all credible information, and it's credible information as to what you're giving us. But yet, Jen, we never heard a word about this.
No, because they're trying to give you a story that is carefully curated and isn't the exact truth.
Exactly. Now, I do want to say this. At the end of the last segment, I was highlighting the fact, and I know this to be true, that over 300 SWAT team members failed to go in. Do you believe that they failed to go in and that was the excuse to allow, and I'm not saying inadvertently, and I'm sure some knew, some didn't, but do you believe that they withheld themselves from going in and stopping the carnage because they wanted to create as much carnage as they possibly can or could during that particular time to basically get the people to forfeit their guns? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely. Okay. I don't think they wanted to go in because it was originally supposed to be a bombing, and it was a failed bombing.
Okay.
They wanted to kill hundreds of kids out yep. in the cafeteria with propane bombs, and only a couple went off. I know of one that went off because it lifted the floor beneath me 6 inches, and I thought the whole wing was going to collapse.
Interesting. Interesting. So when you did go outside of the school, I don't want to get to the point where people are going to shut their ears to this because I think they need to understand the severity of what took place that day. Did you see some of the carnage yourself, Jen?
Yes.
Okay. And on the, can you identify that for us?
So when I was getting out of the building, I didn't have my boots on. There was glass all over the cafeteria floor underneath 8 inches of water. So I had to have a teacher give me a piggyback ride because the SWAT wouldn't help me. So as I'm going outside on her back, and she goes to put me down on the sidewalk outside the cafeteria door, I look down to make sure I'm not stepping on any glass, and I have to make sure I don't step on Daniel Rohrbaugh, who is hunched over and dead.
Yep. I know his face.
And when I got... Sorry?
I know his face. I know his face, Jen. Yeah. Terrible. What were you going to say after that?
So there was stairs outside the cafeteria door that went up to the library. When I got to the top of the stairs, I took my hands off my head and didn't know if I was going to throw up or pass out because I saw Corey DePooter face up, dead with a gunshot wound to his chest. And my first instinct was, oh my God, why aren't we helping him? And I looked at him some more and realized he was dead. And the distance, about 15, 20 feet away from him, I also saw a skinny blonde boy face down in the mud who I can only assume was Daniel Mauser.
Yep.
I was told that those two boys were killed in the library and their bodies were never moved, but I saw three dead kids that day.
Okay, so I have you for two more minutes. Let's go to the library right now. One of the things that I'd asked you off air, Jen, was the assassination or the suicide pictures of both Dylan and Eric. And I said, do you suspect the guy that you had seen that was coaching Dylan, that was telling him to calm down during this massacre, do you suppose or do you suspect that he was the one that maybe came in behind and blew them both away? Because if you look at the pictures, they do not line up with the narrative that they committed suicide. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I believe that he was the third person that took their lives because there was no way for the gun to be the way it was in Eric's hands for him to shoot Dylan and then himself.
Exactly.
It doesn't line up properly.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so I'll give you the last minute, Jen, and I know that, listen, I could keep you on here for another hour and a half. This is great. You're a great guest. Jen, what is it that you would want to tell the people now that you have an opportunity in this particular case, in the present today, that they may need to know concerning, you know, what it was that took place on that day and how important it is for them to pull the curtain back when they hear this kind of stuff coming from the media as to who the responsible parties are and were?
Well, my biggest thing from all of this is that the whole point of all of this, I believe, is to demonize guns and have people willingly give up their guns because I think the government wants to do things to us that we would otherwise shoot them for. So don't let school shootings scare you into giving up your guns like it has other countries.
Amen. Amen. Now, I did bring up Scott Craig to you and your thoughts on Scott Craig because you had said he didn't see what you just got done sharing with us because he was actually playing dead while his friends were getting shot around him. Can you expound on that just a little bit?
So my friend Craig was underneath one of the library tables with Isaiah Scholes and Matt Kechter, and they had both been shot, and the blood from them had gotten all over Craig, and so Craig closed his eyes and laid down and pretended to be dead so that he didn't really see a whole lot of the gunmen that day.
Okay, understood. Understood. Jen, I got to close out due to the fact that we have a hard break coming up. Actually, it's the end of the show. But again, I want to tell you thank you for your courage. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. And if everybody was to stand up against what they see concerning the lies that are thrown on us by the media and the said representative government that we subject ourselves to in many cases, I just can't overemphasize how happy I am to know that there's still people out there like you doing what needs to be done. Because if it wasn't for people like you, we wouldn't have the freedom today that we have today to actually continue on in it. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your courage very much.
Thank you for having me and giving me a way of getting the truth out there.
Amen. Amen. Now, folks, I do have, now we're going to go off air. I got 160 affiliates across the country. I've had Duke hold on for me for quite some time here. I'm going to pull him up, so Duke, don't go anywhere, okay? To all my affiliates, we love you by what we do. Again, want to say
Welcome to WEAG 106.5 FM out of Florida. And our friend Dave Krieger out there, thank you for your trust. Folks, we're going to continue on for a moment here. We're going to continue on. Duke, thanks for holding on, guy. We're not on the radio any longer, but you still have the people on the platform. So with that, again, thank you for holding on. What is it that you want to bring to our attention, my friend?
Well, I worked for a company called Fiorian Sons, and we were doing the earthwork on the new annexes on the Columbine campus. The day before, or it was either a day or 2 days, I found two propane tanks in a ravine on the north side of the school. This is where we were putting the new annexes in. And those tanks had bolts and metal and just all kinds of things JB welded to them. So we knew there was something wrong with them. So I called my supervisor. My supervisor removed me from that job.
Yep, yep.
The next day sent me all the way across town to another highway construction job. And that's when, a day or two after that's when the Columbine massacre happened.
What were your thoughts when it happened?
Something was off.
Yep.
Why did they not intentionally call in and say, hey, there's bombs or some kind of explosive that are next to the school and shut the school down? That would have been a normal thing to do for children.
Correct.
You know, I've got a major echo on this line, by the way.
No, that's we're getting you totally clear. We can hear you fine on our end, so I appreciate that. Yeah, I would suspect that would be, uh-oh, something's not right there, and it's very telling. This is the part, Duke, where people don't think it through, because what they don't think is Duke was there, he thought something was off, he's seen something, he brings it to the supervisor's attention, then he's pulled off the job right away, which tells us the supervisor knew something, or he was taking orders from someone that was higher up that knew something, and then before you know it, there's a massive school shooting taking place there. Why is it that we can't put that together? Because I can. I get the picture real clear. Somebody knew something, and they were setting the stage for something to take place, and they didn't want us to be asking any questions. See, that's what they want to do, is they want to dummy us down. They want to push fear. They want to oppress us. They want to scare us. You better not ask any questions, because if you keep asking questions, this is what we're going to do. Is that not telling to the people, Duke, when that kind of stuff happens? Because to me, right away, is what did my supervisor know? And why did he go ahead and kick me to the curb to another job on the other side of the city right before this happened? He had to have known something.
I'll tell you that there's a lot more going on than people want to believe. And I think that's because we've been browbeated so hard and so long that people just don't want to stand up and get swung at.
Yep. And see, then we have Jen, Jen, our friend, is one of the eyewitnesses, another woman standing up because men are afraid to stand up. Why is it that the women aren't afraid, though, Duke? And I'm not saying all of them, but why is it that I see this across the country, that a majority of those that are standing up against what's going on out there are the women?
They always attack the strength, the strongest part first. Women are less likely to be attacked, confronted on, you know, frontally. And men are the ones they have to attack. They have to get the men first.
Well, then let me propose one more question to you, Duke. And again, thank you for holding on, my friend. What happens when we stand together?
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
Amen. Amen, guy. Hey, Duke, I appreciate you. I'll give you the last word, my friend, if there's anything you'd like to add to or take away.
Well, I'll tell you, I lived in Colorado for quite a few years. I am born and raised in Oklahoma. And if you think here's the deal. I've been a part of a couple of events in this life that have taken years for me to figure out what's going on. I worked in Grand County, Colorado, Granby. I knew Marvin Hiedemeyer, Killdozer. I knew him as a friend. And it took me years to figure out that something was amiss, something was going on that was bad, and I was real close to it. And maybe God's got something that he wants me to do. I don't know.
And maybe you're doing it right now. You know, because in saying that more of the unspokens, and I know we're cutting this short because of the sake of time, but we do know that Dylan Klebold's dad was in the military, and there were CIA connections there. We also know the sheriff was involved in this, in violating both of the kids. And there is much more. As a matter of fact, we even had a friend, Dr. Ann Blake Tracy, who was a professional witness in the case of both Dylan and Eric concerning the dangerous psychotropic drugs they were put on, which would explain why Jen was talking about why Dylan was so hyped up. And the list goes on. So there is much more behind the scenes as to what took place there. And, you know, it needs to be uncovered, because what happens is when the people don't give up on holding people accountable, their house of cards are going to fall. And that's what needs to happen. And some will say, well, Bradley, this is so old that you're even talking about it. No, it is not, because they're going to do it again. And they're going to do it again. And they're going to do it again, like they have since April 20th, 1999. And my objective here is to get people to think about what they're being told and consider the source as to who's doing the telling. Because as I said, Duke, and I'm showing the people right now on social media platforms, all of these eyewitnesses say, are they saying the same things except the number of shooters. And it just may have been, you know, a certain portion were on one side of the building and another portion were on the other side. And that's why there is a difference in numbers. But overall, they're all saying the same thing. And yet this is the information that we weren't told by the mainstream media. So again, if this pulls down the house of cards concerning the next thing they try to sell us, I just want people to pull the curtain back and start digging into it. Because once we start doing that, they're not going to be so apt to go ahead and just do it without thinking about what the people are going to do in response to the next crisis or crime they commit.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Duke, I appreciate you, guy. Thank you for the phone call. I can now do this, folks, if you want me to. I do have a couple other things that I wanted to share with you. You've seen that. Let me go ahead and play this video from one of the first eyewitnesses. I have several videos, but it goes right behind what Jen was talking about. And this is the first one of the first kids asked about what happened during that public school shooting. Listen.
Because tell me, you actually saw the gunman and they were firing at you and your group?
Yeah.
Describe that scene.
Well, me and my friend Chris were just out during lunch by the student parking lot, and we heard what sounded like firecrackers, and so we looked over and we saw some guys with guns creeping around a corner, and we thought it was like a senior prank or something, so we just kept watching to see what they were going to do. And we saw them shoot three kids. And so we, like, started going back on the soccer field, and he looked at us, and then he started shooting at us. And so we, like, fell to the ground, and then we got back up after he stopped shooting, and we saw a guy in a white T-shirt throw some bombs or something on the top of the school.
So a guy in a white T-shirt throwing bombs. By the way, I want to make clear that you understand, again, for the sake of time, like I was talking to our friend Duke just a moment ago, I have several videos of these kids saying the exact same thing, just different numbers. Okay? Some of them been pulled by the mainstream media because they don't want you to know the truth of the matter. That's why we're doing the show today. Okay? But folks, it's not an isolated incident. It's literally, I don't understand is, when did they start to tell us the truth? What did the devil tell us the truth today, friends? When they're taught to lie? I mean, again, did they tell us the truth today, friends, because they really care about the well-being? Do you not understand the mainstream media sets the narrative for the corporate world that's at war with the American people and people worldwide? I just wanted to make clear. Okay, so that's Columbine. I have video after video of firefighters
talking about how there was detonations and those buildings were pulled down. Okay? Again, you got to think about what you're being sold. And it's interesting. They have people questioning the mainstream media. This is the hypocritical and the hypocrisies of the American people, that the mainstream media will actually get the people questioning the truth but believing the lie. We can get 10,000 eyewitnesses. We can get that scene, who is responsible for it, telling you who is responsible for it, but yet the American people have been taught to question the truth but believe the lies. Just think about how many people died on September 11th. Here, that's all you have to do is ask yourself, who means to gain out of the crisis that's been created? That's all you have to ask yourself. Hey, by the way, before September 11th, did you know on September 10th, the Pentagon came out with Rumsfeld, who's now burning in hell where he belongs? But it's interesting, they couldn't give an account for over $2 trillion that went missing from the Pentagon the day before. And then you were also told about this big, massive airplane that hit the Pentagon, which nobody could find any parts of the plane that they said hit that building. But they could find, friends, in fact, video, for those that didn't know, there is video out there showing a Tomahawk missile that was completely, folks, it was confiscated by the FBI after September 11th, but it's easy to find, and you do need to know, it was a Tomahawk missile that hit it. There's no airplane there. See, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, Bradley, listen, I got the video. If you can find it online, it's a Tomahawk missile that shot a hole in the Pentagon. And by the way, the area of the Pentagon that got shot destroyed thousands upon tens of thousands of files that would have incriminated the players behind 9/11. It goes on. Here, finally, this. What about Parkland? There was over 70 cameras there. 70. Only 4 of them were released. The majority of information was completely suppressed. Hey, folks, why am I looking at where I had videos of eyewitnesses that have been removed? This is how you get your information. This is what I wanted you to get. How come when CNN put it out, how come that one's not scrubbed? How come it's just scrubbed when it comes from individuals that are actually telling the people that were there? Synonymous with, I have a hat. I got the hat and the t-shirt. I was there. I seen what happened. They don't want you to hear that. They just want you to hear their useful idiots like this clown, David Hogg, which we found was a played actor. Okay, here. I'm not done yet with Parkland. Isn't it interesting that the teenagers during this school shooting encounter Nicholas Cruz? Isn't it interesting that these have been completely removed? I'm saying it betimes on purpose, because this is who's pulling the strings with your narrative. They don't want you to have the truth. They only want you to have what they create that drives their narrative. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. Here, let me show you something that's been scrubbed from YouTube and the other networks. This young girl was standing right next to Nicholas Cruz when they were hearing the shooting go off on the other side of the building. And then after that, I'm going to play one more video, audio, from a teacher that I witnessed the shooter. And it wasn't Nicholas Cruz. She thought it was the police. Just like what Jen said. Listen carefully, folks. Watch this. She was standing right with him. It's coming.
I actually was in the bathroom at the moment. And I came back to my classroom and I knocked on the door and the fire alarm went off and the principal came on the speaker and just said, everyone needs to evacuate right now. So that's what we did. As I was going down the stairs, I heard a couple shots fired. Everyone was freaking out, saying that it was a gun. And as we were walking, the whole class together, I actually was speaking to the suspect, Nicholas Cruz.
So, folks, can anybody tell me how it is that he was the one doing the school shooting, but she's talking with the one they accused of the crime? I don't know if you know this or not. This was under the first 500 days of Donald Trump's administration. Did you know that during that time? Remember he said, just take the guns first and then due process second. You don't do that in this country. But most people don't know that 55 new acts called policy, not legislation, because it's unlawful. It violates the Second Amendment. But 55 new, what they call legislative acts to disarm the American people were implemented by Donald Trump under 25 governors sold to the American people as the good guys. Oh, I wish people would think. Hey, folks, you know who's destroying your country more than anybody else? It's when they sell you the good guys. That's who's behind it. Isaiah 5:20. Okay, so you're hearing, going back to Alexia here, her name is Alexa Meadnick. She, again, if you're just joining us, was standing there with Nicholas Cruz. How was he doing the shooting? See, he's a lone wolf. That's what they needed. Hey, folks, where is all of the film from the other 66 cameras to show us? It's the same thing with Charlie Kirk, people. It's like they have all the cameras. Hey, let me ask you this, just to put this into perspective for you. Do we work for those said representatives in government, or do they work for us? And are they the government, or are we the government? Because when I look at the Constitution and the preamble, I see where we're the government, and they work for us through delegated authority from we the people to them. So how is it that they're withholding this information? I mean, folks, I could spend an hour here. Who advocates, who teaches the young people to commit crimes more than Hollywood, more than television? Then you sit back and you allow the said corrupt injustices on the Supreme Court to say it's free speech. Nonsense. Liberty is the right to do what the law permits. And our law does not permit educating our kids to kill each other. But somehow the American people think that's okay. That's not freedom, friends. That's stupidity for those that believe that. Here, I want to show you one more video and we're going to call it. Okay? This is a teacher. This one's been expunged as well. It's been removed by big tech companies. Thank God for the people that are out there actually gathering these videos and uploading them. Because I had to dig for this one. But they removed this one from my article as well. I want you to listen to what this teacher said concerning the school shooting at Parkland, Florida, whereby they blamed Nicholas Cruz as the lone wolf. They're always looking for the lone wolf, but check this out.
Writing teacher Stacy LaPelle's class was playing music, writing love letters, when the fire alarm went off. As students filed into the hallway, she heard gunfire. The killing had begun.
I was about 2 feet away from my door. All of a sudden, I heard gunshots in the stairwell, which is about 20 feet away from my room. And then kids were screaming and then running back towards me and towards the end of the hallway. So I just went in this very strange autopilot mode where I pivoted on my feet. I unlocked my door, and the kids just started pouring in my room. I don't know how many kids were in there, but I was pulling them and getting them in and shouting
at
them.
Now listen to what she says next.
And then I suddenly saw the shooter about 20 feet from me, standing at the end of the hallway.
Okay, so she said she's seen the shooter actively shooting. Now, I want you to listen to what she says, and I purposely stopped this because I want you to listen in particular to what she's saying here when she's seen the shooter.
...them in and shouting at them to get in the room, and then I suddenly saw the shooter about 20 feet from me, standing at the end of the hallway, actively shooting down the hallway, just a barrage of bullets. And I'm staring at him thinking, why is the police here? This is strange, because he's in full metal garb, helmet, face mask, bulletproof armor, shooting this rifle that I've never seen before. I don't know when I decided it was the right time to close the door. I grabbed the handle with...
Okay, so I'm just going to stop there. I'm not redacting anything. I'm not trying to get her to say something she's not saying. She's saying it, and there's another minute and a half of this during this interview. But she holds to what she said. What are the police doing here? I want to end the show with this. And I've said this in all the high school assemblies that I've done all over the country. I've done 366 of them. What kicked off our assembly programs nationwide in 25 different states was the Columbine shooting. And one of the things that I've continuously highlighted throughout the assembly programs is instilling the courage that God gave me to give to the people. And now going back to our conversation that we just had with Jen a couple minutes ago, there was over 300 SWAT team members that sat outside of that school during the shooting at Columbine. When they were asked, quote, unquote, why it is that they didn't go into the school to stop the school shooters, they said they didn't know what they were up against. This is what I want you to hear, and this is what I want you in your, I want you to have in your heart. I've told the young people all across the country, guys, even on their behalf, of course, because I am my brother's keeper, if my kid's inside of a school shooting and there's 300 SWAT team members outside of the building that fail to do their job, first of all, I've never seen so much cowardice in all of my life. But I guarantee you that if one of their children would have been inside of that school, they wouldn't have been sitting outside knocking their knees together trying to figure out an excuse as to why they're not going to go in there and fight for their own kids. No, no, they're cowards. I want to tell you what I would do. Without a doubt, without a question, without even a second thought. If I would have been there that day and my kid would have been in that school, I don't care what they didn't do. The only people that need to care at that point is what I'm going to do when I get inside of that school and find out who's shooting at those kids. America, what happened to these colors don't run? What happened to courage? What happened to the truth? The truth has fallen in the streets because the courageous are now no longer around to actually uphold it. We need that back. And I want to tell you what motivates it. Love for each other. Hey, friends, a civilization is not destroyed by weak men. I'm sorry. It's not destroyed by wicked men. Forgive me. It's not destroyed by wicked men. Alone. It's destroyed by weak men who cannot defend what is good. How many times I've said on this show, folks, Edmund Burke, I have a lot of respect for him, who said, evil prevails because good men do nothing. I am here to tell you, friends, there's nothing further from the truth. Because good men do not allow evil to prevail. Hey, folks, we're doing this to ourselves. They're going after the kids, and they've been doing it far too long. People, stand up under God and set the record straight. In bringing judgment upon the heads of those that would perpetrate such crimes against our own children and ourselves. It needs to stop. But again, friends, it stops when we get right before God. Read Acts 20, verse 21, Matthew 3, 8, Matthew 3, 2 as well. Mark 1, 17, the list goes on. Acts 20, verse 21. Read it when you get a moment. Love you by what we do. We went over about a half hour, but again, I got so much information, and this stuff really gets my dander up. But we'll be with you again at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time tomorrow from 2 to 3. And if you want to call in and weigh in tomorrow concerning what we were talking about today, would love to hear from you. See ya.